We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
There's no God who condones taking the life of an innocent human being. This much we know.
I think that it is a good time for those who voted for the ban against gay marriage to sit and reflect and anticipate their great shame and the shame in their grandchildren's eyes if they continue that way.
I feel that this happened for a much bigger reason than baseball. I think God's put me now in a forum where I can be heard, and I hope that kids would not make the same mistake that I made.
To all of the gay and lesbian kids out there tonight who have been told that they are less than by their churches, no matter what anyone tells you, God does love you. Very soon, I promise you, you will have equal rights federally across this great nation of ours.
Well, Monday through Thursday, Issues Etc. is usually about the guests and the topics. We'll start out talking about any manner of weighty subjects that we have this week. And we will a little bit later in the program, but Friday first hour is always about our listeners and what they have to say. We start out with listener email. We read some of our listeners' blogs, and we let our listeners vote on the Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Email is a special treat for us because it gives us a chance to hear directly what our listeners think, what their suggestions are. It's kind of like the comment line, except in written form. Now, if you want a response to your email, you usually have to wait until Friday, and then we can't respond to all of it. But if you want a for sure response to a comment or question, criticism you might make, you can always call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's Friday, March the 6th. We are coming to you live. Listener email first. Blog of the week and then soundbite of the week. In the second hour of the program, to the weighty subjects, we'll talk with Richard Dorflinger, Associate Director of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, about a front-page story in today's St. Louis Post-Dispatch that's made the national news as well on the Freedom of Choice Act in Catholic hospitals. Catholic bishops say if it goes through, the Freedom of Choice Act, they might be closing Catholic hospitals. That's hundreds and hundreds nationwide because they refuse to take part in the evil of abortion. Dr. William Hurlbut of Stanford University will join us to talk about a reported breakthrough in adult stem cell research. And then Dr. Donald Calbreth will join us from Whitmore University in Spokane, Washington, to answer the question, is homosexuality genetic? And even if it is, does that make it right? Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MY-I-E, or our in-studio email address. And we get so much email. Glad to read it all. Can't respond to all, but we'll do our best here in the first half hour. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Who's first, Jeff?
This is an email from Denise. She says, God bless you, Pastor Todd. You've brought me back home to the true faith, my Lutheran upbringing. Of course, the Holy Spirit used you. I will save my testimony for another day. I have a question regarding homosexual behavior. This is an embarrassing question, but I need to know. Is oral sex between married heterosexuals considered sodomy and therefore immoral? Thank you so much again.
Well, isn't nothing like starting with an easy one. Thanks a lot, Jeff. I understand that the previous host of Issues Etc. was once asked this question live on the air and decided to, what would they call it in baseball? Bunt? Did he bunt? He allowed himself to be walked? Yeah. Well, okay. I will speak this as a matter of opinion without any graphic details. I think that within the bounds of marriage, there's Christian freedom regarding matters, even matters such as oral sex. Now, there might be Christians who are bound by conscience to consider this questionable. And if questionable, then St. Paul always says if you're questionable on whether or not something is a sin, then err on the side of not doing it. So I think within the bounds of Christian freedom, especially and within the bounds of marriage, I think that there's freedom in that matter. That's all I can say.
Andrew in Upland, California. This is regarding false views on the atonement, the series we did with Dr. Stephen Hine on the cross of Christ. He said, after listening to part 5 of Dr. Hine's discussion, I'm even more sure now of what I have long suspected with regard to these alternative theories for what Christ actually accomplished on the cross. That is, if any of them are true, Christ failed. If the declaration theory is true, and Christ really did suffer and die on the cross to demonstrate his love for us so that we would respond with the same love for him, what other conclusion can we come to but that he failed? Who among us actually comes near that kind of love? Who could possibly say that he or she does indeed love Christ that much when our every thought, word, and deed betray us? If the moral example theory is true, Andrew writes, and Christ really did simply die to demonstrate injustice and leave us an example to follow, he failed. Who among us actually follows that kind of example? Who even comes close? Sure, some people do great things for others, but how can any of them honestly say they've done enough? If the governmental theory is true and Christ really did die as a demonstration of God's displeasure with sin, the penalty for our sin remains unpaid. We are left in our sin, and Christ's talk of ransoming the many rings a bit hollow. Andrew concludes, it seems that every one of these views leaves us exactly where we began, sinful, fallen, and in need of a Savior. We do not need Christ as the example of faith. We need Christ as the object of faith. That's from Upland, California, Andrew.
Andrew, thank you very much. Very well put. Yeah, all of the alternate theories of the atonement aren't atonement at all. And all these alternate theories leave one wretchedly in your sin. They turn Jesus' efforts, whatever they may have been at the cross, into efforts in futility. Right, and a failure. And it's shocking to consider how many people on any given Sunday hear preaching that in essence perpetuates these false views of the atonement. And the one that's most popular is probably either moral example or Jesus' cross is kind of the God's love letter to the world, just showing us how much he loves us. Nothing really happened there. He's just trying to show us something. And you might have heard that preached in your own church. God is not trying to show you something in the cross. Is a demonstration being made? Yes. The demonstration being made is the punishment for sin, but sin is actually being punished. And God is actually accomplishing something there, not just showing you something. It's not an object lesson. It's an objective reality. What's next?
All right. This is an anonymous emailer. I'm a pre-seminary student. I have a request topic that I wish to offer for a segment on the show. I am currently taking a youth and family ministry class at one of the Concordias, and I'm struggling with what the teachers in this program are teaching. They call it contemplative youth ministry, and they use a book by Mark Iaconelli by that same title. My question is, what is contemplative? I've been struggling to understand what they mean. I think an example of what they mean by contemplative is what they call praying the scriptures in the form of Lectio Divina, in which you read a random passage from the scriptures and ask yourself where the content of this reading is touching my life today, or I am being called to respond to God today, this week, by. I see this as being very law-oriented, and in this format, you're supposed to let the scriptures speak to you and not look at the scriptures academically. How close is this to mysticism? Is it mysticism? I would like to know what Issues Etc. thinks of this topic. It is a concern of mine because if it continues to be taught at the university, it will begin to be taught in the congregations. In all honesty, I don't know what to think about it, so I don't know if this would be a good thing or a bad thing.
All right, it's a very good question. We probably should just write that one down, Jeff. We should probably schedule a lengthy interview on mysticism and its practices, because mysticism as a subject can't be really understood apart from the historic practices of mysticism, and they're still with us in the church today, even though the classic age of the mystics was a long, long time ago. Okay, praying the scriptures is a good thing, but how one handles the scriptures is key here. Scriptures are likened to a sword. If someone were to walk into your house with a sharp, two-edged sword, you would and wave it around, you, especially if your family was in the room, you would want that person to know what they're doing, to handle the scriptures, the sword, properly, because you can do as much damage with a two-edged sword. It can protect you, or it can hurt you. So when pastors stand in the pulpit and think, well, you know, it really doesn't matter how I handle Scripture, they are engaging in a lethal experiment, because God's word can kill. It can also make alive. And if it's improperly handled, it will be detrimental to the hearers. Praying the Scriptures is a good thing, but we always pray Scripture in terms of law and gospel. That is, there is nothing in Christian prayer except praying the Scriptures. All the Christian has to pray is Scripture. If you start praying your own ideas, God has given you no promise He will listen. He listens and answers when we pray based upon His promises. I think prayer is not a contemplative exercise that we do to somehow edify ourselves. It is simply asking God for the things we need. There's nothing complicated about prayer. It's not a mystical experience. It's just asking God for what you need. It is no more complicated than making your order at the McDonald's drive-through window. You just tell the girl what you want and what you need, and she gives it to you. And that's how prayer works, too. So away with all this inner mysticism and how I'm feeling about God, or what is this passage saying to me? That's not the question. The question is, what is this passage saying, period? Now, the problem with the mystical practice of praying the Scriptures is it was always self-referential. It's always centered on the self and the Christian rather than on the Christ. This is why when we pray the Scriptures, it is in terms of law and gospel. What has Scripture, what law here speaks a word of condemnation to me, and what comfort is offered in this Scripture to me as a sinner? What's the promise here upon which I can make my prayer? Scripture will tell you how to pray. It will tell you what to pray and what to ask for. And you don't have to go searching all through Scripture. Start with the Lord's Prayer. That's a real good piece of Scripture. You want to pray some Scripture? Pray the Lord's Prayer. You can't go wrong. All right, when we come back from this break, more listener email. After that, Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then your chance to vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's Friday, March the 6th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone. I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you to pay for the production, salaries, and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, asking you to consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues Etc. Thanks for your consideration.
The toilet seats are always up at LPR. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cup holder for your double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Alfred Forney, Michelle Heim, Richard Biscotto, Christian Mastalak, Henry Davis, Bob Bloomer, John Austin, Edith Laufer, Larry Andrus, and Ellen Garnett. Thanks for your support.
The gospel is not only the message that the church takes to the world. The gospel is the source of the church's very existence.
Southern Illinois truck drivers who love Issues Etc. Lots of people have the attention span of hummingbirds on cocaine. They're into something and they want it to work now. It's got to be popular right now. It's got to feel good right now. And to some degree, that's the way we also think about church.
It's sort of like arguing that if you're committed to having sex with your parent, that would make it acceptable. Or if you're committed in your sexual union with two or more persons concurrently, that would make it acceptable.
Some of our sound bites for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You know, this is a great show. You listen to those sound bites, you think. And I even do the interview, so it all sounds like reruns to me. I think to myself, I got to go back and listen to that guy again. Some of our sound bites, you get to hear them in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. We'll play them for you, and then you'll get your chance to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. You can find them at our website, too, under the on-demand page, issuesetc.org.
You know, Craig brought up a great point during the break. We've got a lot of new items on the Issues Etc. website we haven't mentioned. We've got some great new pictures on the Etc. page to look at. We've got a new YouTube video that Pastor David Gallus, a promotional video that we'd love for you to send to your, you can embed, send to your friends. Great 90-second video to watch on the promote page at issuesetc.org.
So if you go, when you go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on promote, you'll find the promotional video. In fact, I think there's not one but two there, if I'm not mistaken. You can bet it on your own blog or website, whatever you want to do. Go to the Etc. page, because sometimes the people you hear there are actually pictured there. Here in the studio with us, there's a great one of Bishop Swadee and his traveling companion, sporting the I Have Issues t-shirts. If you want to see Jim Cruda's amazing cake that he made for us with the Issues Etc. logo on it, a little in advance of the Issues Etc. trademark resolution, he made us this cake. It disappeared very quickly into the hands of Craig, but you see me holding it momentarily. If you look very carefully at the edge of the picture, you can see Craig encroaching on it, ready to take it away from me.
Now, if you look in the upper right-hand corner, there's a big smudge, with the finger smudge. Craig.
And all sorts of other things to see there. If you ever wonder what the pastors who do the round tables with us look like, you can find them all there on the Etc. page. It says, actually, Etc. You click on that, www.issuesetc.org.
The cake was awesome.
Was it?
I shared it with my family, so thank you, Chris.
Was it chocolate or was it white?
It was half chocolate and half white.
Amazing.
Now, I asked Jeff during the break, I said, have we ever gotten any feedback on any of those pictures? Because the one with the bishop, Swadee, and his travel companion, I mean, that's a great picture. It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot going on in that picture.
Oh, yeah. And we always say travel companion because his travel companion's name was unpronounceable. I mean, he's a nice guy, but his name was unpronounceable.
And, you know, the other one, Todd, is a lot of those other photos that we take out here in the control room, they've got the whiteboard in the back, the new board that we put up in the wall, and stuff on the whiteboard changes from day to day. And you never know.
Check out the upper left-hand corner, Employee of the Month.
Yeah.
It's always – nobody's picked up on that.
And then, of course, the things that we want to talk about on the air but never have time to.
If you want to see the inner workings and the dreams and plans and hopes of the people at LPR, you can look at the whiteboard behind most of the pictures where we have our – it's not pretty, folks, but it is a backdrop to our photos when someone comes in the studio.
I'm looking at Craig's got a list up here, things to talk about. One, space heater for Jeff and Shawl. Two, yeah. Send us your coffee mugs. Three, send us your favorite drink. Four, candy jar for Todd so he stops eating our sugar cubes for the coffee. And five, send us gift certificates for favorite restaurants. Not Super Bowl broadcast, too late to talk about that one. But you can see that in those backgroundless pictures.
If anybody knits,
what's really important to
if any of the women out, or the men for that matter, in the audience knit, Jeff is in desperate need of a shawl for his legs because he sits back in the cooler part of LPR's palatial suite of offices, and where for some reason it's cooler back there. I think the air conditioning return is back there, and it warms up out here in the control room and in my office, and Jeff is nice and cool. He's even measured the difference, like 7.5 degrees difference.
It's 4 to 5 degrees difference between here and the control room.
So we will handle the space heater. We're not asking our listeners to provide us with a space heater. We'll get that for Jeff. But even through the summer months, Jeff is going to need that shawl for his legs.
I'm thinking I mean, if we're orange, talking shawls, orange and black, knitted. Yes.
Todd, I think he's got an iron deficiency because he'd come in the wintertime, have a sweater on and a jacket and turn the heat on because he was cold.
Yeah, especially when we have the round table in here, the heat gets pumped up. And inside this well-sealed room with three pastors, it gets kind of gross, tell you the truth. I mean, by the end of the hour, I'm usually holding my breath.
So. Back to email. Carrie in Minnesota. I'm podcasting the old Joel Osteen sermon review now. I'm feeling pity for all the people that are going to be wishing on a star, and then when God doesn't come through, they think God doesn't answer their prayers. So they decide he doesn't care for them. There's nothing scriptural in this sermon at all. I'm not capitalizing the word God because he's not telling us to trust in the true God, but to trust in us as God by what we believe and want for this life to be good. Ugh, Carrie writes. How many poor souls are being led astray from their real Christian church to this?
It is sad to consider. I mean, we're talking about close to 50,000 a week just in attendance in multiple services at Lakewood in Houston, and then millions others who watch this on television and consider Joel Osteen not just the greatest preacher ever, but they drink deeply from the draught that he is serving out. And because he is affable and good looking and a talented communicator and apparently very nice guy, they simply confuse how much they like Joel with whether or not what he is preaching and teaching is true. And sad to say, not only is much of what he's preaching and teaching not true, that is not scriptural, there is a conspicuous absence of Christ and him crucified in what Joel preaches and teaches.
Abigail from Dallas, Texas. Somebody famous is from there. I don't know. Who is that?
It's not me. I mean, I'm from Dallas, but...
Oh, you're famous. You're very famous.
No, I prefer an anonymity, actually.
All right. Abigail, Dallas, Texas. Hello. Well, hello to you, Abigail. I'm a fairly new listener and wanted to let you know that I am loving the show. I'm a recovering evangelical, and thanks in part to this show and the encouragement of a Lutheran friend, have recently begun visiting a Lutheran church. So thank you for showing me the light. As I've listened to your show, I had an idea I wanted to pass along. I'm 25 years old, divorced, single mother of an incredible three-year-old daughter. I've heard so much regarding parenting as a Christian, but would love to hear a show specifically about mothering as a single parent and what that looks like when dealing with a father who is either non-existent, damaging, or unwilling to fulfill the role of a father, even as he is present. I know that many women struggle with this, and it would be wonderful to hear some insight about this issue from a source that has such a sound theological basis and understanding of biblical roles, writes Abigail in Dallas.
This is something that I wish we probably could deal more with, and hopefully in the future we can. We talk a lot about marriage. We talk a lot about family. And I hope we never give the impression to any of our listeners that when we talk about, you know, the optimal family being mother and father at home with kids, and that this is, in fact, what the family is, that we do not – hope we don't give our listeners the impression that if they don't have that optimal situation, if father is gone or if mother is gone, if someone is parenting their children singly, that somehow they are – did they feel any sense of condemnation there? Because more often than not, these things happen. There's no such thing as no-fault divorce, folks. But more often than not, these things are beyond a Christian's control. At least the way they end up are beyond a Christian's control. And there are many women and men who struggle being single parents. We're not saying you're not families. But our defense of the complete family is made over against the onslaught that the family is facing in the culture and in society and sometimes even in the church. So we'll put that on the list to talk about the struggles of being single parents because it's a reality.
From Dallas to Houston, Lisa writes, if you were a layperson who could not hold books, how would you go about learning to do apologetics, preferably without much polemics because that kind of freaks me out. I'm quadriplegic and have fists full of friends who do not want to have any relationship with God. I just want to know how to give a gentle and respectful answer when they ask questions and maybe even help foster the questions. Going to Dr. Montgomery's conference in Strasbourg, France is not an option. Pastor Malley suggested that starting with 1 Corinthians 15, I believe because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and proceeding on to the reliability of scriptures. I like that as a beginning point, but it seems to me that more about Christ would be useful, and depending on where the person is, to begin with, of course, writes Lisa from Houston.
You know what we should try and do? You know, we should try and get something like, if we could just snag Craig Parton for a couple hours, get one of his books like The Defense Never Rests or what's Christianity on Trial is his latest one, and try and put that on tape. That would be a great idea. If you think about someone who can't hold a book and read, the natural option is to put those kind of resources that are accessible in print on tape for people so that they can actually have access to the books. And Craig Parton, reading one of his books is like going to Strasbourg, France. He's one of the guys that teaches there.
Well, plus we just did a 3-part series on that book. She could listen to those 3 interviews. And his book is Religion on Trial. Dr. Montgomery's is Christianity on Trial.
That's right. That's interesting. There's an awful similarity there. I wonder if there's there wouldn't be a trademark dispute between those two guys.
Well, I'd love to see that in court. Montgomery versus Parton.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Oh, by the way, the emailer mentions that they want to learn about apologetics, but not too much polemics. You can't be an apologist without doing the polemics. It's both defense and a positive confession. We'll be right back.
And make believe it came from you.
Often imitated, never equaled. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's a new way to support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. You can now donate stocks, bonds, and mutual funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, contact Craig at 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Please consider donating stocks, bonds, or mutual funds to Issues Etc. in 2009. Call Craig today, 618-223-8382. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Mike Connolly is called the Miracle Man. His wife, Loris, awoke to the sound of choking. She found Mike in his easy chair, unconscious and not breathing. The 6'8" man was too much for her to move. When paramedics arrived, it took a half hour to get his heart beating. They think his brain was without oxygen for 10 minutes. Severe brain damage occurs after 4. Doctors called his case hopeless after he had been in a coma for 4 days. Just before they were about to remove his life support, Mike responded. The first sign was a tear running down his cheek while a stepson read scripture to him. Then he began responding to his name. It shows God has the last word. Mike's main complaint? His chest hurt from all the CPR.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Ken Vitriti, Larry Holden, Frank Stoutzenberger, Michael Crutcher, Carol Mueller, Ruth Ann Stoutzenberger, Aaron Cotilla, Sean Cullen, Herman Getchen, and Robert Sumner. Thanks for your support.